But guess what? We're here, and it is 2017. So, hey, we gave you a handout on your way in this morning. And if you turn it over to the side that says about something about addition and subtraction, addition and subtraction. We are not going to be talking about New Year's resolutions today. I hope that's okay. But we are going to be talking about maybe some things that God wants to do in our lives in 2017 that are going to be different than everything we've experienced in our past. New things. I believe that God is always wanting to do new things, and it far surpasses resolutions. I was looking online, kind of like, you know, just some thoughts and ideas about resolutions. The greatest one that I came across was someone who wrote this and said, "Dear God, my prayer for this next year is for a fat bank account and a thin body. Please do not mix these up again like you did last year." Yeah, we're not talking about those kind of prayers or those kind of resolutions. But you know what? I believe that when we think about God doing a new thing, I want you to think about in terms of addition and subtraction. There's new things that God wants to add into our story. New things that he wants to bring to fruition. Maybe things that have been dormant. Areas that when we think about our lives, there's been things that have been absent. There's been things that have been lacking. That God wants to stir in our lives in 2017. That we want to lay hold of. We want to like grab a hold and say, "God, I want those new things that you have for me." But to make room for what is new, God will often do some subtracting. Where one thing will increase, other things have to decrease. You know, we experience that even in our own homes. You know, in the holiday seasons, our homes get crowded with stuff. Things are brought in. There's Christmas presents. There's things. And I don't know about you, but you know, if you just like accumulate, if you just add without doing the subtraction, one day they'll do a reality TV show about you. It's called Hoarders. We can't just do addition. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's not the way God created our body. We've been created to have subtraction, right, as well. Things that we would put away, things that we would get rid of, things we would say no more of. And so this morning, we're going to be taking some time and reflecting on this process of the things that God wants to add to our story, and also the things that God would be really happy to say, "I'm going to help you to subtract some things as well, to make room for the new things that I want to do." In John 15, in fact, we read about God being a good gardener, a gardener. He said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." And he said, "Anything that is in me that's going to bear good fruit, guess what? I'm going to prune it." And right there, we see that whole principle of addition and subtraction. Anything that is going to bring new life is going to require pruning. It's going to require subtraction. But first, let's talk about this whole concept of what God may want to add to our lives. When I was on staff at a church up in Olympia, Washington, was there for 5 years, it was a great experience. God did amazing things in our lives and our story that continue today and made so many good relationships. And the pastor there, Bert Smith, had this concept. And it's not unique to Bert or to the church there. But the concept was having a word for the year. God, we want a word for the year. And there was we were challenged to have personal words, and there was a word for the church. And can I tell you, I hated it. I hated the whole thing. In fact, he was so adamant about having a word for the year that Pastor Bert would like send us away, like all the people that were on the leadership, he'd send us away, and you have to come back with a word for the year. I don't care how long it takes you. You go get on your face before God. You do whatever it takes. You get that word for the year. It's like, I don't even know if I believe in this. This is really hard for me. I hate it. I you know, kind of like everything within me kind of like tore against it the opposite direction because really theologically, like I believe that God has words for us all the time. I believe that God is always wanting to speak something new. There's always something fresh. There's always something that is important in God's heart that he's wanting to point out to us and highlight. And so this like concept of word for the year is like, no way, man, I don't want to do that. I want to be fresh. I want to be like every day, like, you know, his mercies are new every morning, right? Not just once a year. But I was obedient. I did what he asked. I tried. But I really struggled with this concept of this word for the year, of kind of like maybe in 2017 that there would be this look at a whole year of what God wanted to do. And you know, it wasn't until this last year that God kind of brought a correction to my thinking. And it happened through listening to a message that another pastor preached, another Foursquare pastor from Beaverton, Oregon. Got to give credit where credit is due. And Randy Remington is a great man of God and has pastored in Beaverton for a number of years. A significant ministry outside of Portland, Oregon. And Randy was talking about this concept of the word for the year, and something that he shared freed me from all that tension and angst that I had about getting this word for the year. And this is what he said. He asked this one question. As soon as he asked it, it just made sense to me in a whole new way. And he asked this. He said, when we come to this point next year, what do we want to be more full of? And it just got me thinking. And it really changed my perspective that there's things in my life that are lacking, that I know that God's heart is to mature me, to bring increase in different areas, and areas that are lacking that I would grow in. I know that that's God's heart for me. But when he just worded the question so simply that when we get to this point next year, what is it that we want to be more full of? It really did something deep within my spirit. Because when you begin thinking about it, listen, we've got so many different choices we're going to make throughout the year. Thousands. In fact, statistically, and people that have researched this say that we make thousands of choices every single day. Every single day. In fact, this might blow you away. It surprised me. But they did a research study at Cornell University when they found that we make 226.7 decisions every day just about food. Just about what we're gonna eat. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. Over 225 decisions every day just about food. Listen, we make decisions all the time. But can I tell you this? If we had a sense of, God, what is it that you want to do in me this year? What am I lacking? What do you want me to be more filled with this coming year? That when I get to the beginning of 2018, that I would be more filled with things because I am aware of what you're doing. And so it's going to influence the decisions of my life. Because of an awareness of what you are wanting to do, my decisions are going to begin to be different. I'm going to approach things in a new way, in a different way, because I'm now being attentive to that direction in which you are leading me. Or we could even call it a word for the year. God, what is it that you want to do in me in 2017? So that when I get to the beginning of 2018, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be more filled with the things that you have for me. Now listen, in just a few moments, we're actually going to take about 3 minutes, and we're just going to put on a song, and we're going to just all listen to what the Lord might speak to us. We're going to give you a few moments just to begin to ponder that question. God, what do you want me to be more filled with when I get to a year from now? But before we do that, I believe that God will give a word for the year, something that is going to be of God's heart for us. Maybe it's already something that he's been talking to us about over these past seasons, but he's saying, now is when I want you to walk into this. Maybe it's something we've been avoiding. Maybe it's an area where we go, yeah, I know that I have lack in that area of my life, and that God would really be reminding me to step into 2017 saying, God, I want to be more filled with this. So I believe that God will give us something for each one of our lives personally. But I also believe that God will give us that for, as a church as well. And so before we talk about our personal stories and give a few moments to reflect on where what God has for us in 2017, I want to tell you what I believe that God is speaking to us as a church for 2017. That is this very distinct word, that God, when we get to 2018, that we're going to be different, that we're going to be more filled with something. And here's what I have been assessing the Lord speaking to my heart for our church family, and that is that we would grow deep roots. Grow deep roots. This is there's a couple different aspects to this growing deep roots. One is a physical reality. And the physical reality is that we came to the end of 2016, and God brought no big surprising changes in our direction as a church family. We had been wondering and praying and asking God for many years, even prior to my arrival 2 years ago. The church was, you know, saying, God, do you want us to move? Do you want us to move to another parcel that we own down in southeast Santa Maria? Over by Elks Rodeo. And there have been some years of processing that. And when I came to the church, our district supervisor, Dennis Easter, for Foursquare, Southern California, he said, hey, why not, as a church, it would be wise to wait for 2 years, to hit pause as a church. And rather than that be our big concern, it's like, let's discover what God is doing within us. Let's grow right here, and then see what the Lord would want us to do. And so, as a leadership team, all year long, we've been saying, God, we feel like we're supposed to stay right here at Courier and Hermosa, right here across from Robert Bruce Elementary and El Camino Junior High. And God, it seems that you have embedded us right into a neighborhood, but Lord, if you want to signal something different, if you want to surprise us with this idea that, no, we need to pack our bags and move to a different facility, you're going to make it clear to us. And so we've been praying. The church leadership has been praying. I've been praying, saying, God, would you make that really clear to us? And so the deadline that we knew that had been asked of us by Foursquare was that we would wait 2 years. And that came to a conclusion at midnight last night. And in fact, Kelly and I came over here and spent time just right here in the sanctuary last night, praying for you, praying for our church family, and saying, God, we're ready for your word. If you want to signal that we're going to be doing something different, but God, we're not assessing that. We're not hearing anything different than just to stay right here. And so, church family, I believe that something in 2017 that is a word for us is to put down deep roots. And you might say, well, as a church? Are you talking about? Yeah, as a church. Because, you know, even though that this church campus has been here since 1959, right here, because for years there was the wonderment about, well, maybe we won't be here. Maybe this isn't going to be our home for the next decades. Then maybe we won't kind of like really consider this to be our home base. I believe that God's saying, put down deep roots. I want to bear more fruit right here. Put down deep roots because I want to bear good fruit right here, right in this space that's been dedicated for the Lord's use. And so I believe that there's going to be things this year that practically, physically, that we're going to be doing to sink down deeper roots into our neighborhood, into our city, into our community because of what God has spoken to our church. The second thing that I believe has to do about growing deep roots has to do with our discipleship, has to do with growing so deeply in the Lord that truly that we're going to be bearing good fruit. That, listen, that's what plants do. That's what plants do when they put their roots way down deep. Guess what? They bear good fruit. Amen? And I believe that God is calling us to places within him that has to do with that sinking down deep roots that are going to allow us to bear good fruit in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our city, and even around the world. God is going to allow us to bear good fruit because guess what? We're going to be putting our roots down as deep as we can and getting every obstacle out of the way of what God has for us. So I believe that God has a word for us as a church for 2017 about putting down deep roots. But how about you? What may God be signaling to you for 2017? Things that he wants to add to your life and to your story. And we have a question that's up on the screen. It's the same one that's there. On your notes there, right above that little box. And it just asks this, Jesus, a year from now, what do you want me to be more full of? Brie, would you put on that music? And we're just going to take about 3 minutes just to be quiet before the Lord. Would you ask him, God, when I get to a year from now, what is it that you would want me to be more filled with, Lord? Listen to him. Jot down those things that he would bring to your mind and attention. I look forward to hearing what God is speaking to hearts. I look forward to hearing your story about what God wants to do to add new things, to bring new life. What are you going to be more filled with in 2018? We get to January 1st, a year from now. I am looking forward to hearing what God is stirring. But let's turn our minds here for a few moments over this idea that God not only wants to add things, but he wants to subtract things as well. In order to take hold of something new, we must figure out what is it that God is wanting us to let go of. Things begin to get crowded in our lives. We got to make room. We got to create space for the new things that God is wanting to do. Our lives can just get really crowded. And God has built in something within his word, the framework of how he works with his people, that kind of get us thinking about subtraction kind of regularly. It should be regularly in our lives. It's this concept called fasting. He has built it into his word that God's people would come to times when they would enter times of fasting. Everybody say fasting. Fasting has to do with setting something aside for a season. Haven't gotten to your fill in the notes yet if you're trying to figure out where I'm at. I'm just talking about the concept of fasting for a moment. We'll get to those. But listen, when we set something aside for a season, prompted by the Lord, that's fasting. And we're going to talk about that oftentimes that has to do with food, but not always. All through God's word, people would set aside eating for a time. There were nations that would fast. There were individuals that would fast. There was leaders that would fast. If you read the stories of Jesus, we know that Jesus himself fasted. And then as we read in the book of Acts and we read Jesus' followers and disciples, they fasted as well. We see this all through God's word from Old Testament to New Testament as a spiritual practice, a spiritual discipline of subtraction. I want to talk to you about that for a moment, but first I have a confession to make. I have fasted a great deal in my life. And you know, if I was to tell you the stories, it could just make it sound like, you know, always patting himself on the back, or you know, making himself out to be this great spiritual giant, this spiritual leader. And that's not the case. Fasting has always been challenging for me. But I'm telling you, there's been times in my life where I just felt like God was saying, you need to give something up. You need to do this for me. There needs to be this divine moment of subtraction in your life where you just say, okay, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to lay it aside for something greater that the Lord would want to do in me, right? And so there's been times where I've had extended times of fasting. And I've always found them to be very beneficial. In fact, I've found that after times of some extended fasting, I would point back to some of the biggest times of breakthrough in my life and in my story have come on the heels of setting other things aside and subtracting in order that God may add something beautiful to my story. A lot of times that had to do with food. So over my lifetime, I've gone on several extended fasts. 3 years ago, however, my story changed a little bit, and I haven't talked a lot about this, but about 3 years ago exactly, I was given a diagnosis that I had cancer. And it was a particular type of cancer that as soon as my doctors told me about it, and they said, hey, this is the type you want to have if you get cancer. Sorry to tell you that. But that's what they tell you when you get thyroid cancer. And that's what I was diagnosed with. And it just came from a routine checkup. We should get our checkups. It was just a routine checkup. I didn't have any symptoms at all, but they found a lump in my throat. And upon investigation, they found out there was some abnormalities, and they did a biopsy and found that it was cancerous. And the thyroid had to go. Well, I'd started to discover some things about your thyroid that I had never thought of before. Because who thinks about their thyroid, right, until there's a problem? And so anyway, I'm dealing with these realities of and really some fear set into my heart. Because your thyroid controls a lot. It controls your energy levels. It controls your sleep patterns. It controls your weight. You know, if you gain a little weight or you're losing weight, it can be due to your thyroid. Your thyroid is like this internal computer that makes all the systems work at the right speed. I was losing mine. And some fear crept into my heart. And they said, hey, we're going to give you a pill. And you're going to take this pill every day for the rest of your life. And what it does is it replaces the hormone that your body naturally would be creating through your thyroid. And I said, well, we'll give this a shot and pray that it works. Well, let me report to you, it's worked exceptionally well. You know, it's like, it's hard to remember exactly what I felt like, you know, before with my thyroid, but I feel really good. I think most days I'm doing really, really well. And there's times where, you know, I get a little worn out and weary, but hey, I'm 52 years old. So, you know, maybe that's just part of like being a little over 50. Is you get a little tired sometimes. But you know what? Something happened in my thinking when all of that transpired. And I became fearful of not eating. And I actually became fearful of not having my coffee. Because it has to do with energy. It has to do with not wanting to, like, hey, I'm different now. Something in me broke. And so I don't know if I can trust the Lord as fully in this area of my life any longer to like sustain me when I'm subtracting, when I'm fasting. And so I don't know, God. And then some weeks ago, got an email from the president of Foursquare. He didn't just send it to me. Sent it out to all of Foursquare saying, hey, we are going to, as a church movement worldwide, we're calling people to a 21-day time of fasting and prayer for the beginning of 2017 to lay hold of those things that God has for us in these new seasons. And when I saw that, I thought, God, you're tapping me on the shoulder, aren't you? Because listen, there's no requirement as a Foursquare church. Sure, we're Santa Maria Foursquare, but we don't have to participate in every single thing that Foursquare does globally. We could just say, oh, that's good for other people. I'm sure there's going to be some church, some other place that's going to be really blessed with this. But I felt that God was saying for us, no, this is for you. Moss Holder, this is for you. And Santa Maria Foursquare, this is for us. That this would be an opportunity to step into a new year, not only saying, God, I want you to add new things to my life, but I'm willing to lay aside those things that you're asking me to lay aside of. And so I'm going to enter this practice, the spiritual practice of fasting. And so I said yes to the Lord. And so over the past week, I have weaned myself off of coffee. And today you're looking at a very decaffeinated pastor. because today is the first day of these next weeks where I'm fasting from coffee. And Kelly also challenged me in the last day to also lay aside social media, which is, for many of us is kind of a constant, being online and checking Facebook and Instagram and this and that. And so other than what we're going to need to do just for the church to communicate things on a church-wide basis, I personally am going to be fasting also not only from coffee, but fasting from social media for the next 3 weeks. So you're not going to see my smiling face much when it comes to those places. Because I believe that God is calling me to subtract some things because he's wanting to add some things. He's wanting me to let go of some things so that I can grab a hold of some new things. So now if you look at your notes, I've already told you that fasting has to do with setting something aside for a season. But here when in your notes, there's some fill in the blanks. And this is what I truly believe, that fasting is unplugging. And that's the first word that you'd put in there about what is fasting. Fasting is unplugging from other power sources so that we can more fully plug in to God. It's like living a life unplugged for a season. Saying, God, I know that there are certain things I always go to for my personal power source. You know, and for all of us, it could be different things because we're all wired a little differently. But let me tell you, we all have places that we go and stick our fingers in that socket or that socket over there. Maybe it's television. Maybe it is social media. Maybe it's reading. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's a certain set of friends that you go to because, I always feel charged up when I'm with them, right? It could be many different things. But fasting is unplugging for that for a season to say, God, I want to more fully attend to plugging myself right into you and recognizing that you are my power source. Under that, it says this, fasting is a declaration. And here's the declaration. God, I fully trust in you to meet all of my needs. Whew. I mean, this is a bold declaration. Fasting is a bold declaration. You don't just give stuff up lightly. But it's this bold declaration that God, I need you. And not only do I need you, I trust that you are going to be the one to fulfill my needs. Rather than this other thing that I turn to, I'm going to unplug from that for this season, God, so that I would be more aware that, God, I put my trust in you. You are my salvation, and you are the one who sustains me day by day, not this other thing. Because of your power and provision, God, I don't need this in my life right now. It also says something to our flesh that I think is pretty important. That we would remind this body of ours every once in a while that you're not in charge. That I don't have to just give in to whatever this body craves, that I do have the power and authority to say no to the flesh. I can do that. And I think God's pleased with that because we see through his word that, man, living a life of righteousness, living a life that is like Jesus's, is that that requires us to say no to things that would fuel our flesh and make us feel good. And sometimes we just have to say no to those things in order that we can say yes to the Lord. So fasting, this divine practice of subtraction, does all of these different things in our lives. And like I said earlier, we see it all through God's word. And so I've given you there on your handout, you can read through and see several places where fasting is talked about. That's there in your notes. But I also want to talk to you about what fasting is not. Fasting is not a way to have our sins forgiven. Hopefully that is really good news to you. Fasting is not a way to have our sins forgiven. I put a scripture there in your notes. Listen, all through the New Testament, we find this. There is one Savior. There is only one way to have our sins forgiven, right? And that's through Jesus alone. Through Jesus alone. He already paid the price for my sins. Fasting is not paying for your sins. It's not a way to say, oh God, I'm really sorry I blew it again, so I'm going to fast. Okay, that's not what fasting is about. It's not a means to somehow tell God we're really sorry. He knows our heart. And when we blow it, guess what? We live a life of repentance and accountability. God, I am truly broken from my sin. Lord, there I went again. I did it again. So God, I repent. And I ask for your forgiveness. I know that you forgive me, but Lord, I ask for it. Would you forgive me for this that I've done? And now I'm going to turn from that. And that's repentance, is that turning away from our mistakes. But can I tell you, fasting is not required for God to somehow say, okay, now you're serious. Now I'll forgive you because you fasted. That's not what fasting is about. Second thing that fasting is not about, it's not a way to look religious. Or can I tell you this, to look any other way. It's not a way to look skinny. Fasting is not God's plan to subtract weight. It's his plan to subtract other things in our life that are getting in the way of what he wants to bring and wants to add. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, when you fast, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. In other words, there's no room to add anything to their story. They're already all filled up with themselves. Hey, look at me, I'm fasting, right? And so they make their face all disfigured and I'm miserable. He said, they've received their reward in full. Think about that they've received their reward in full. There's no more room to add something to. But when we fast with a different spirit, when we say, God, I just want to lay this aside because I want more of you. Then God says, there is room for me to bring my reward. See, there is a reward that God would want to bring for entering into this season of subtracting. There's a reward that God wants to bring. He says, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. In our common culture, we'd say, use shampoo and conditioner. Make yourself look good so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, there it is. God wants to add something. He wants to bring something to our story. If someone's motivation to go without food is to appear religious or lose extra pounds, then this is not a biblical fast, and it will not bring about the spiritual reward that God wants to bring. True fasting is always a reflection of the passion of one's heart to grow in the Lord. So how do we fast? Well, like I said, fasting usually does involve food. Why is that? Well, because listen, if fasting is unplugging from a power source that I usually turn to so that I can plug more fully into God, food is the universal power source, right? No matter how you're wired, you need calories to survive and to be healthy and strong. And it's the same person in Russia and in China and Uganda and in Chile. We all need food, right? So fasting is a universal way that we can all unplug and to have this divine season of subtraction. But there's more than one way to fast from foods. And there's a list there for you that is just a real handy thing. But one is called the Daniel fast. And I know that many people have gone on Daniel fast. In fact, there's people in our church family who I know that in this past season have done that. And that's basically where you limit yourself to what Daniel was eating. And if you want to know what Daniel was eating, go to Daniel chapter 1. And I put that scripture there as a reference. But it's mainly fruits and vegetables and things like that. And the Daniel fast, one of the cool things about it is that you can do a Daniel fast for an extended period of time, even if you're working a pretty rigorous job. Even if you're employment or maybe you're in sports or things like that, you can go on a Daniel fast and that ain't going to kill you, okay? That's not going to knock you out and cause you to be completely depleted. The next one is a partial fast, which is kind of like a Daniel fast, but maybe it's a little different. Like for myself right now, I'm setting aside all coffee, which is a big deal for moi. That's a partial fast. I'm not fasting from everything, but I am fasting from something that I turn to as a power source for me. For some of you, maybe Red Bulls, because they give you wings, right? And God is saying, hey, would you set aside these energy drinks right now? Because I want you to turn to me as your source for energy, right? I don't know. But partial fast may also be setting aside particular meals. Maybe you fast over lunchtime. Maybe that would work with, you know, with your schedule and what God would prompt in your heart would be to maybe at work, instead of going and doing your normal lunch routine, maybe you pick up your Bible and go sit in your car and just spend time with Jesus, okay? The third type is a juice fast, and this is where you do give up all solid foods, but you have the energy that is produced by getting those good sugars in your body and help you move forward through your day. And when I've had extended times of fasting, those are the types of fasts that I would go on, is that I would cut out all food but would just have juice. And I was able to function. I was able to work even for weeks at a time. And then the last type of fast is the type that we read about Jesus doing when he went off into the wilderness for 40 days. And we would just call that a total fast or a water fast. When we're not consuming any calories, we're just staying hydrated. It would be very unhealthy to go on a type of fast where you are not drinking water as well. So those are four different types of fast that have to do with food or calories. But there's also this other type of fasting, and that is from unplugging from whatever else we would normally turn to as our source of strength. A question that I would ask is, what ministers to you other than the Lord? What ministers to you? Well, he's given us lots of things in this world that minister to us. They're good things. But you know what? When we set them aside for a season, and I mentioned a handful of them earlier, music, friends, TV, social media, whatever, those aren't bad things. But when we set them aside for a season, it's saying, God, I'm reminding myself that you are my true source. You are my sustainer. You are the one that provides energy for me and strength for my life and strength for my journey. I believe that God is wanting to add things to us, to our lives. each one here individually, and in your family. God is wanting to add things this year to our church family. God is wanting to add things. But I believe God's calling us to this season. 21 days, a way to start our year together. To say, God, we want to divinely subtract some things to see what you would want to add. I would suggest this. A couple of things. Number one is, on the other side of that sheet, we gave you the first sheet to the 21 days. Okay? There it is. And there's a link down at the bottom, English or Spanish. You can go and just plug that in. And what that's going to generate for you is it'll open up a link to a PDF file that's a little downloadable thing that you can put on your computer or smartphone that is a 21-day journal through. So that'll just kind of, we'll all walk through this together. And so there's a scripture to read. There's a short little couple sentence, little devotional, something to focus on for that day. And then there's also some prayer points. So I would suggest that today would be a really good time to start. Don't wait till tomorrow. So we put this right in your hands so that you could start today, all right? And I would suggest go ahead and download that. You can also go onto the homepage in our website, sm4.org, and that you can see, you'll see a big thing there for 21 days of prayer and fasting, and that you will be able to click on that. It opens up the article that was written by our Foursquare president, Glenn Burris. And there's even opportunities you can even, they've created an app that will, you can even use the app to go through the 21 days. It's pretty cool. But listen, the other thing that I want to say about this is that this is 21 days of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. When I gave us those moments to reflect and say, God, what is it that you want to do in my life in 2017? I don't know what God spoke to you. You may have left with more questions in that box than answers. But I believe that as you would dedicate yourself over these weeks to prayerfully pursuing this, I believe that at the end of the 21 days, that box is going to be full. That you're going to be able, you're going to say, God, these are the things I know that you're wanting to do in my life in 2017. And if you already know, if he's already given you clarity, then pray about those things each day during these 21 days. Fast and pray, right? Subtract and add. And then see what God would want to add as well. Jesus, thank you, Father, for this new year. Lord, it is filled with potential. Lord, there's a potential for a whole lot of good, but we also know from our own stories, there's a potential for bad. Because, Lord, we're caught up in this. And, Lord, we want to be your people that step in doing the right things at the right times.